Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 13th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 90, the third paragraph, If He Does Not Want to See You. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Linda B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Karen W. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Patricia C., Penny L. C., and Mary B. The share ID for Tuesday, October 12th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,907. That's 17,907. This morning's Wednesday, October 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 17,915. That's 17,915. Our newcomer greeter today for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcement. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm Linda B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda B. And Karen W., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Long Island, New York. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for this opportunity, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 90 in the third paragraph. If he does not want to see you, we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Patricia C., if you could get us started, please. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Patricia C. in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's go. If he does not want to see you, never force never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. Sorry, I'm a little sick. I don't have any experience to share getting involved with as a sponsor with or just as a fellow with another family trying to help somebody who is a compulsive overeater. So the experience that I have to share this morning is just how I came into the program, and I'm not going to tell the whole story or anything, but just reading this last sentence is so important to me because it says, urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist, or any of that stuff, so I don't know why it is the way it is for me. But for me personally, when people get anxious about me doing things, I just shut down. Like, I can't hear them anymore. I did have a very anxious parent. I think that might be part of it. I don't know. But when someone tries to be very, like, worried about me, it freaks me out. And it makes me stop listening to them. The other thing is, I avoided really getting help because, if somebody, expressed concern about the way that I was eating, that just made me want to eat more. I mean, eating was an escape for me. Eating was a coping mechanism. How do I cope with anxiety? How do I cope with pressure from other people? I'm going to eat. And so this didn't help me at all. And so I think our patience with other people is really key, because I think that that's something that I need, you know, and be like, look, if you want help, I'm here, you know? I mean, I'm not going to hound you down and pressure you, and it really, because it really does have to be on them. It really had to be on me, you know? And I wish I knew why I suddenly realized that I needed help and was willing to do whatever it took. I can't tell you exactly. I know that it was a process of elimination. Like, first it was like, oh yeah, I have got all these awful things happening in my life. And then all those awful things ended. And then everything was good. Everything is as I wanted it to be. And I was still eating compulsively. That was one thing. And then, you know, I just decided to accept the fact that I was going to be overweight and bought all these fancy clothes. And so this is it. And then 1 month later, I couldn't fit those clothes. And that was very scary. So I was very scared. So those are two important things, I think. And I was just at a place to be honest. I know I couldn't have done it before. I wasn't ready to be honest. But I can definitely look back and see that every step I took me closer to recovery. And I'm so grateful that I've been abstinent for, like, I guess, 16 months now, something like that. And, you know, and recovered for over a year, which is a miracle. If anybody told me that I was going to eat sugar or sugar substitutes for like even just a month was huge. But no, it's been that long. I haven't had any of that stuff. I just having patience and trusting God is huge. To be like, and when they're ready, they're ready. And it's heartbreaking. But when they're ready, they're ready, and they'll ask for help, and maybe it won't be from you. Maybe it'll be from someone else. And that's okay, too, because the world doesn't revolve around us, even though I really wish it did revolve around me. I make my life easier, but it doesn't. And that's it, and I thank you for allowing me to serve and the past.
Thank you so much, Patricia C., for getting us started. Okay, again, we're on page 90, the third paragraph. If he does not want to see you. And who would like to share on this paragraph? We do value your experience, so we ask if you shared Monday or Tuesday that you step back and let others share this morning. So I'm ready for some names.
Irene B.
Irene B. Amy, what was your initial Amy?
C. Amy C.
Okay, I lost all that. Did I hear an Amy and an Ivy?
Yes, yeah, Amy M.C.
Amy M.C. and Ivy.
Ivy S.
S is in Sam.
Yes.
I should remember that, Ivy. Okay. And who else would like to share on this?
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Goldie.
Okay. Oh, who was the last name there? Who came in last?
Goldie.
Goldie?
Yeah.
And your initial Goldie?
F, like Frank.
Okay, great. Okay, that's a great lineup. Thank you. So I have Irene B, Amy M.C., Ivy S., Donna B., Deb E., and Goldie F. And if I made any mistakes, you can feel free to correct me. Okay, go ahead, please, Irene B.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic from Louisiana. Oh, gosh. This paragraph really speaks to me because my nephew and his wife, my sister, my daughter, you know, they're... I want to say they're overweight, and I know that's not the criteria. So instead of what I'm going to say is they have a problem with food and they all know about my bulimia. I mean, 4 inpatient, 4 outpatient treatment centers and family meetings and so on and so forth. So yeah, we're all acutely aware that we have eating disorders and yet it's the white elephant in the room. And what do? Compared to them, I certainly work my program like my hair is on fire because they're not interested in program. And I so wish that they could have what was so freely given me, but they don't seem to want it. They seem to be okay with their lives as the way it is. So the best thing I can do is to recover, recover, and recover until I am the product of attraction and not promotion. You know, if I can recover to the point that they say, wow, look at the changes in her, then maybe they will want what I have. But I guess in my pain and desperation in the situation that I'm in, I'm not able to communicate that I have any message to give because I'm hurting too much. And that's because I hurt, because life is difficult and I have many programs to work. And thanks be to God, the food is okay. Thanks be to God, I'm still abstinent through this whole mess. So it occurs to me, this is not what I wanted to share. I wanted to share that from the opposite point of view, I was the person who was desperate for someone who could come help a bulimic. And there was no one who could help a bulimic recover. There was nothing. And so I was going to come from that point of view to share. And then my higher power said, no, 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 no. Be the program. Huh. Right now, I am mush. I feel like I'm a puddle melted on the floor. Oh, and by the way, my daughter is in the hospital, quite possibly delivering my second grandbaby. What a joy that is. You know, maybe God is going to use this for me to be the program, to be that which people want. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Irene B. And Amy MC, you're up, followed by IBS. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, moderator, and for Team Wednesday. My name's Amy MC. I'm in Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to apologize for any background noise. I have a puppy and a baby right here with me. But I did want to share on this paragraph and just share my experience. And my experience when I first came into program, it was, you know, kind of textbook classic in the sense of I came to program, you know, traditional OA, and I was in the rooms and at the meetings and, you know, just crying uncontrollably because there were people who were sharing like my deepest, darkest secrets and so openly and honestly, and I just so felt at home. But as the compulsive overeater that I am, in staying after the meeting and talking to some fellows about sponsorship, and, you know, at that time, people were also sharing food plans, I said, no, thank you. I said, no, I'm a teacher, and I was starting February vacation. And I said, oh, I'm starting a fast on Sunday, on tomorrow, and I'm going to do it for a week. And so maybe after that, then I'll call one of you for, you know, and commit food or talk about triggering foods and things like that. And they lovingly were like, okay, you know, that's fine. You do what you have to do. And of course, lo and behold, you know, I started the fast on Sunday. I think I made it through like Monday lunch, starting at Sunday night. And, you know, it just, and then I was binging again. And so by Wednesday, I called, you know, one of the fellows who had given me her information and said, yes, you know, can we talk about triggering foods? And, you know, and just going from there, and you know, vice versa in the sense of, you know, I've worked with many people and reached out to many newcomers. And, you know, this certainly isn't to be a deterrent. It's just the honest truth. I can't hound anyone, you know. I can reach out and I can say I'm available, but I can't do program for anyone else. You know, this is a program where we have to identify ourselves as compulsive overeaters, as it was kind of said earlier. And, you know, even though I may suspect somebody, you know, has an eating disorder, or is a compulsive overeater like me, or, you know, any of those things, I can share my experience, strength, and hope, and that's it. I cannot force anyone or convince anyone to do program, to call me, to you know, be willing to go to any length. That has to come from that individual. So I think it's just so lovingly put in our book how, you know, back in the day with AA, going to their family perhaps was something that worked. But like it was said at the end, I believe, of this paragraph, and forgive me if it's the next one, but, you know, let them binge, let them go back and go back out and keep eating and really be like, really come to the realization that they have to surrender to a power high, greater than themselves. Thank you. In order to recover from this hopeless disease. So thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Amy MC. And IBS, good morning. You're up, followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Ivy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Ivy S. from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Yeah, I like this paragraph where it talks about the working with others, but also where it says, never force yourself upon him, you know, because I think that's a little bit of my will, me, you know, see, you know, like trying to make somebody do anything. And, you know, just going back to my own story, you know, it just, you know, this is a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. And for me, it just took what it took. You know, it takes what it takes. I started bulimia in my early teens and a compulsive overeater, I think, since birth. You know, and I'm turned 50 last year, you know, and I have a little over a year and a half of abstinence, you know, so definitely it took what it took for me, you know. And, you know, my family, they just didn't get it. You know, my parents, my family, my brother, they're not compulsive overeaters like me, and they just didn't get it. You know, it just wasn't, they didn't understand. My mother for sure didn't understand the bulimia portion of it. And, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's, I get it. I understand who I am. I understand the hopelessness of my situation. The futility of trying one more diet, one more fill in the blank, you know, it just, it, you know, it doesn't work for me. And I've seen over and over again. You know, what I love, when I read this paragraph, what it reminds me of is another part in the big book where it says about how we're uniquely qualified to help fellow sufferers like myself, you know. And I just love that, you know, me as a recovering compulsive overeater, bulimic, who could not, you know, do one day without binging and purging on repeat, can today, you know, I don't have to do that, you know, just for today, I don't have to do that. And so when somebody talks about that, like, I totally get it, you know, because been there many, many, many times, you know. And when I first came back to program in 2018, man, I was so close to the edge, you know. I was on the ledge, you know, so metaphorically speaking. And just knowing that I could be of service to somebody else if I could stay and I could really get this thing and really get a foundation in Overeaters Anonymous and the 12 steps, it just felt like such a sweet promise to know that I had a purpose. You know, I had blown up my family because of, as a direct result of this disease, and to know that I could be of use to a fellow sufferer someday was such a balm, you know, to for lack of a better way. So anyways, really grateful to be here, and thank you for all who show up for this meeting, and that's all I have. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, IBS. And Donna B., go ahead. You're up, followed by Debbie. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And I think at this point, many of you know that my name is spelled D-A-N-A, although pronounced Donna. I could really relate to the opening share regarding the hysteria, anxiety of
of my parents, of my family of origin. And I can't quote exactly what they said, but what I heard is something is wrong with you, and you better figure out a way to make it change. There's something wrong with you. We can't do anything to help you. This is your problem. You better fix it. You better come up with a way to get better. And I did. I came up with a lot of great ideas. I came up with ideas like running for hours from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the morning in pouring rain. I came up with ideas like running to the grocery store and buying boxes of laxatives and taking them at the grocery store and then running home, hoping that I'd have a bowel movement when I got home. Obviously, I came up with the idea by myself, vomiting all of my food. So the hysteria around me, I internalized, I adopted, and took that message, fix this damn problem by yourself with your best thinking and make it quick and make it effective. And my best thinking created a mess of my life. And to think that I would approach another person with that kind of hysteria and say, hey man, look, you got a problem, you got to fix it, seems absurd. And the Big Book and the experience of working with steps and the experience of having amazing sponsors in my life affords me the opportunity to approach people with this disease entirely differently, with kindness, compassion, tolerance, patience, love, with the principles of this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Colorado, D-A-N-A-B in Colorado. And Deb E., you're up, followed by Goldie F. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. It's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And this paragraph just makes me think of that. I think it's an Aesop fable where the sun and the wind are competing to get this man to take off his coat, and the wind just keeps blowing harder and harder to, like, force it off. And all the sun does is make the day warmer, and the man just takes his coat off because he's warm. And I've always loved that story because it's so much like me. Like, I just try to force, but when I surrender, things just happen more easily. And nobody really had any clue that anything was wrong with me. So nobody, you know, I didn't have the experience of family, you know, hysterically pleading with me to do anything. They didn't see any issue with the behavior that I had. But I do know how it feels to see this behavior in other family members and just want to just say, like, please let me just fix you. I have a solution, you know, and that's not at all how this works. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to watch, and it's hard to just sit tight with the knowledge and the belief that, you know, everybody's got their higher power, and all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and I have no control over whether someone recovers or not. All I can do is do my best with my 12-step work to help out. But ultimately, it's not up to me whether they recover or not. And this line, but urge them not to be over anxious, just stood out to me because I have such a history of anxiety, like not being able to take a deep breath, not being able to just calm down, you know, and stay like breath. It's like for me, like being able to take deep breaths is so much a part of my recovery in a way. But I still have this tendency towards being anxious, and these are the kinds of things that get me going too. It's like, oh, but I need to fix this, right? I have this, like, this feeling, like this thinking, like I need to fix things, and I don't need to fix things. It's not my job. It's my higher power's job. And I need to just ask where I fit into that plan, like where I can be of help, not as a fixer, but as a supporter and an example. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Debbie from Israel. Thank you. And before we take Goldie, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 90, the third paragraph, if he does not want to see you. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph, and I'll be taking some names after Goldie. So go ahead, please, Goldie F. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Goldie, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I just feel such a gratitude for this meeting. And today is my day number 5. And I had been in OA a few times, had abstinence a few times, lost tons of weight, put the weight back on, been in relapse, gave up. But I didn't stop listening to Vision. And I do believe my higher power let me hear something just 5 days ago on this meeting specifically, and it spoke to me. And I just feel my higher power is like, okay, go and weigh and measure your food. And I do believe there's no other way to explain it, because I just couldn't string like an hour together of abstinence. And I've tried a zillion and one things. I even at one point, when listening to the paragraph and a few things that were said, I even went all the way down to trying Ipecac at one point, like, which is totally insane. And luckily, I didn't enjoy the after effect of throwing up like crazy that I didn't continue doing that. But this thing is just insane, and I just have to say out loud that if the people that did an outreach to me in the past few days to welcome me, I don't know if I would like have the strength to keep going, because it's not easy to not be using food for everything. Like, I'm angry, lonely, sad, tired, whatever it is, I pick up. That's what I do. That's what I've done my entire life. And people have reached out, and that's given me the strength to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm just so grateful to those phone calls for the outreaches, because that has helped me get to today. I feel vulnerable and very raw without picking up food. I feel so needy and sad, and so many emotions that are going on all at the same time, because I'm not using the food right now, and not easy, really not easy. I feel like crying a lot. A lot of things are just coming up, and I'm dealing with all these different things in my life on life's terms, and I just really feel very grateful to Vision, and thank you all, whoever I've gotten to get connected to, because that is a lifeline for me right now with this meeting and my higher power, and I just have a lot of gratitude. Thank you.
And thank you, Goldie. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, we're on page 90, the third paragraph, if he does not want you to see. And I would like to take some more names if you have not shared on Monday or Tuesday. I'm ready for your name.
Sherry KB.
Hi. I only got Sherry KB.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Kim M.
Stacy K. Kim M.
Tammy M.
Oh, Tammy M. Okay. I can take one more, I think.
Jody H.
Okay, let's stop right there for now. So I have Sherry K. B., Veronica B., Stacy K., Tammy M., and Jody H. So go ahead, please. Sherry K. B., good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen O. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive every year. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O. and Team Wednesday. I'm just going to jump right in here because, Anyhow, I just want to start out saying that, you know, I think it's really important when I read this paragraph to put myself in that person's place that I'm talking to. I just want to give a little history here. My mother put me on a diet at 9 years old. And all through my life, up to 39 years old, she was always on me about my weight and, you know, all of that. So I have a lot of compassion for all of us. And I just know that I had this my own way of when I'm working with someone, how I present it to them. And it's very kind and compassionate, but firm. And I let them decide. It's up to them. It's not up to me. And I know that my higher power is guiding me. And what I really like here that jumped out at me this morning when it says, here no specific rule can be given, because I think people are individual. There's a basic thing that we all do. But I just, you know, I've heard horror stories on the line of how people have been treated, you know, through their life, or how people have confessed about being sponsors and how they've treated their sponsees. And, you know, it's not about control, because I know for me that I ask my higher power for guidance. And I can go to this book and read this book and get directions from this book. But, you know, my whole idea is to help them, to give them support, but their full reliance needs to be on a higher power. And when people start saying, this is how you have to do it, and this is my way or the highway, that doesn't work. I mean, it's not everybody has, you know, they're not an authority. There's only one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They don't govern. And I think about that. So I do take on different people individually and what's going on with them, and actually use a lot of compassion, and also firmness and kindness and respectful. Love, patience, and tolerance is our code. And that's what I always like to remember when I'm working with different people, because they have different things that are going on. And I just know that, you know, getting hysterical or I have not been involved with someone's family, but I just know what I've been through as a kid with somebody getting on me. And I have a lot of compassion. And I think that's really important, and firmness and kindness and respect. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB in California. And Veronica B., you are up, followed by Stacy K. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. I like what it says when it says, never force yourself upon him. I like to read this chapter before I work with newcomers, just to remind me. This chapter is, you know, for me to remind me how sick the newcomer is. And it reminds me how sick I was when I was new. And the best thing I can do today is to be an example of the program of Overeaters Anonymous, to be the example of God working in my life. That's the best thing I can do, is show up as an example of how I've been transformed. And that will become an attraction for someone that is struggling with the food, or with eating, compulsive eating behaviors, because that's my experience. What happened to me was I was in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, killing myself by eating and throwing up. I would be listening to the speaker, and I would just be thinking about my binge. Where am I going to go tonight after the meeting so I can get my binge on? And I saw two women in AA. They lost a lot of weight, and they seemed really happy. And I wanted what they had. I wanted to know what they were doing. Something had drastically changed in them. They were an attraction to me. And so that's when I found out about Overeaters Anonymous. But it was me being in so much pain that I wanted a different way of living. And I was attracted to these women. And that was enough for me to ask about what they were doing in their life. So this paragraph is, I let people ask me for help. I don't force myself on others. In the beginning, I was a little pushy because, you know, I was so excited that I wanted everybody else to have what I was doing. You know, I was eating clean, I was being abstinent, and like I felt better, right? And so I wanted everybody else, like in my family, because they would make comments like, oh, what, you don't eat flour anymore? And you know, but today I just mind my own business. If somebody wants help, I'm happy to help them. I just definitely don't force myself. That really is a turnoff for me. And I don't do well when someone tells me that I should do something. I really, today I act where I just try to lead by example. That's the best
time, please.
Attraction for me. So thanks so much, and everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Stacy K., good morning. You're up, followed by Tammy M.
Good morning. This is Stacy K. in Colorado, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, I think it is. Yeah, hi, everybody. This chapter, you know, as we start out, it's really talking about getting to know somebody. And I need to listen, right? I get lots of cues, especially when I listen with all five senses, you know, that sixth sense, you know, because, you know, sometimes we hear things that they're not really saying, and we can ask questions. You know, I can always do that. I mean, how do I find out that they don't want to see you? You know, that's pretty obvious, but sometimes I just ignore those messages, you know, and that's where, you know, I start playing God. And that's my job today, is like, not, you know, to be able to see where I'm trying to play God and to stop it. And I need God's help, right? That's what we learned, you know, in pages 60 through 63, you know, when we take our third step. You know, I got a new employer, and that's God. And I've heard that quite a bit in the shares, you know, about going to God and asking God instead of thinking I know what I need to do here with this person, you know, because it doesn't matter how much experience I have in doing a 12-step call or working with somebody. I have a good forgetter. And I think, you know, I start thinking that I'm in charge and I can get in their way, you know, of any progress. And sometimes we do. We have to, you know, we have to hit our own bottom. And, you know, it's not that we can't sometimes raise people's bottoms by telling the truth about this disease and sending them to listen to talks or to read certain stories in the book, that maybe identification will help them to see that it's, you know, that it's seemingly hopeless, of course, but it's, you know, it feels pretty hopeless when you're in it, in that place. And so it looks different for everybody. And, you know, I got to trust God with this whole deal. So if I'm convinced that I'm at step three, it says, which we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood Him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that a life on self-will can only be a success, you know. And, you know, it says that, you know, we want to run the show. You know, I want to be in charge, and I want the play to suit me. I want the actors, I mean, I want everybody, you know, to do what I want them to do. And, you know, I want to save people. I want to fix people. and I've learned the hard way that that I can't. So one of the things that I just going to say, one of the things that I really try to do is to see, you know, that great reality deep down in them, you know, and to honor that. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Stacy K. in Colorado. And Tammy M., you're up, followed by Jody H. Go ahead, Tammy.
Hi, I'm Tammy M., recovered compulsive eater from Illinois. I'm going to make this short. I'm reading the part on, if he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. As a beginning sponsor, I had one sponsee, and I gave her direction, told her what to do, and I didn't hear back from her. And I have a sponsor myself I'm working with, and she's teaching me how to sponsor. I'm at that point. And it's important. You know, I didn't force myself on her, and I think it's important for me as a sponsor, not to force myself on anybody, because I think it's up to that person to really, if they're really ready to work a program, for them to be ready to work a program, and not for me to force myself on them. If they're really ready, they'll be ready. And I think that's the way it should happen. Not to push myself on them or anything. They have to be ready themselves and hit bottom themselves. I could tell them my experience, strength, and hope, but not to just force myself on them. That's important. And that's really all I wanted to share. And thank you for your service and allowing me to share.
Thank you, Tammy M. in Illinois. Thank you. Okay, Jody H., you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Jody H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. The thing that struck me with this reading and working with others, I had to reflect upon my own experience this last year. I'm fairly new to OA still and to Vision. I was looking in my journal the other day, and I've only been in the program since June of 2020, but I've been through the steps several times and have sponsored some over this past year, and I'm finding that once I set boundaries, sometimes it's important to, no, not sometimes, but always it's important to listen to your sponsee and determine where the program should go with the help of your higher power. And I've seen family dynamics work in several ways, where the forcing of a program on one person who has a family, I wish is a difficult situation sometimes because of the lack of control over the fridge and the cupboards and having foods that are sometimes trigger foods for other people, other members of the family in the same house. And that can be very difficult for a new person coming into the program. And that's a dynamic that I think from day one, when I work with sponsees, I'm learning that if they have that relationship with a higher power of some sort, that they can overcome those issues. But to come in fresh, they really need tools as quickly as possible. And once I set my boundaries as a sponsor, it's important to keep to those boundaries. In the early part of the big book, I had explained that we go to all lengths to help the new person. And I think of some of the entries of the early part of the big book where it says, let them come into your home and help them with their bills and all kinds of stuff like that. These AAs went to all lengths. And I have to examine myself as a sponsor. Can I go to all lengths to help this suffering compulsive overeater? I'm not saying that you take everyone into your house, but I'm saying that, you know, it's important to know for yourself what your boundaries are. And in closing, I'd like to say that it's important, again, to... I better close. I'm going rambling. Anyway, thank you so much for the meeting. And I am a fellow traveler with my sponsees. I'm not a sponsor. I'm a fellow traveler. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Penny L.C., would you please read A Vision for You?
star one to unmute, Penny.
Yes. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.